This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gird your loins. It's birthright citizenship argument day, and the Supreme Court will discuss that. Fraud, foreigners. We have Theo Wold here. Mike Slater's going to give us some hope. All that. We'll laugh at Lindsey Graham and so much more coming up on I'm Right. For a very, very, very long time, longer probably than you've been alive, the United States of America has been pillaged by foreigners. Pillaged. Now, it's not hard to figure out why. This is something we discuss all the time on the show. But the Democrat Party in this country, they understand that if you import disloyal foreigners from foreign lands, let them reside here, then they will vote Democrat the rest of their lives. Their children will vote Democrats. Democrats import foreigners because foreigners are votes that go to Democrats. It's just that simple. They don't care about the rapes, the murders, the crime. They don't care about the cost. None of that matters at all. These are sick, demonic people who only ever think about power. They think about their seats of power, and that's all they care about. Republicans, vice versa. Republicans are too weak to ever stand up to this in any significant way. Oftentimes, Republican donors, large, rich Republican donors, they own things like restaurants, hotel chains where they employ illegals and they pay them pennies on the dollar. So they don't necessarily want the foreign barbarians to stop coming in either. The loser in all this, of course, is you and me. Our children and our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, as the United States of America loses its culture because it becomes a dangerous, filthy hellhole because we import people from dangerous, filthy hellholes. Virtually every single problem we have in our society, you can trace it back to immigration. Illegal and legal, by the way. Remember, immigration doesn't suddenly become wonderful because some scumbag politician determines that it's legal. Immigration. It is destroying the United States of America. If we stop it and get these foreigners out, we will save the United States of America. If we don't stop it, the country's already gone. It really is that simple. And I bring all this up because today, we'll get to it in a moment, there were arguments held with the Supreme Court on the insane notion that if you just are born here, you're automatically an American citizen. Even if you're an illegal and you skip across the border, you have a kid here, they're an American citizen. It's bonkers. But I want to trace back to something I was just talking about. Every single problem comes because of immigration. Did you hear what this guy? I want to make sure I read his name because, he's an American running for Senate in Michigan. Abdul El-Sayed. He was asked about, you know, the Ayatollah, Iran, you know, the jihadi. We killed him. Whatever you think about the war in Iran, that's a good thing, right? Well, he doesn't want to make a statement. Why?
Like, this is going to destabilize the region. I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
What? I don't want to comment on it because a city in Michigan is full of people who are sad that he died. And so in response to that, there was all this outrage. I'm sure you've already heard the story. All this outrage. How can this be? How can this guy be the one running for Senate? How can there be a town, an American town, where the sympathies are that way? And you're downstream of that, you see so many people talk about how we have to ban Sharia law and things like that. And all that stuff's fine. Ban Sharia law. That sounds great. But that doesn't fix the problem. You can pass all the laws you want. You can ban anything you want. If you don't stop massively importing Islam into the United States of America, you'll have Sharia law. I don't care how many bans you put on it. And Republicans are too soft and pathetic to talk about that. To this day, they'll stare in the camera and they'll tell you, well, I'm against illegal immigration, but legal immigration is great. Hey, we need wide gates, right? Wide gates. Well, then you're going to get Sharia law. Then you're going to get Americans butchered on the streets. And not only are Americans butchered on the streets, but American politicians will then get up and they'll defend the butcher. Here's the mayor of Chicago.
Tell me why you wanted to come out and what's your message for the community here?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. We have to end the assaults against working people. We have to end the assaults against immigrants.
What? An American was butchered and the mayor of Chicago is concerned about the immigrants. Democrats don't hide it. I mean, we have anchor babies in the United States Congress, anchor babies, only here because of the illegality of their parents, anchor babies in Congress standing up at the microphone and openly calling to dissolve the agency who deports illegals.
We will melt ICE, and I have a bill to do just that. We will dismantle the Department of Homeland Security because, frankly, at this juncture, nothing less is acceptable.
This is where we are. And that brings me to the Supreme Court today. Look, we're going to talk to Theo Wold about this in a few minutes. So we'll get a legal expert on it. But you know what's wild is this subject, and I'm going to ask Theo this at some point in time. This subject is crazy. The whole thing is crazy because everybody knows the truth. We have the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, again, everybody knows. It was all written down. There's no mystery. Everybody knows the 14th Amendment was for freed slaves, because they deserved, obviously, to be full citizens in the United States of America. That's why we have the 14th Amendment. Everybody knows this. Yet, everybody seems to want to lie about this. The communists will, of course, lie about this. The right is too pathetic and weak to tell the truth about this, too afraid of being called racist or something like that. The 14th Amendment is not for the Guatemalan anchor baby. That's not what it's for. And now we have hostile nation states like China coming over here by the million and having babies, and then they go right back to China to get educated in communism, only they're full American citizens. And this case in front of the Supreme Court, I've told you many times before that we have 1,000 battles to fight, that there is no one election that's going to solve everything or cost us everything. It's not true. There's no one. We have to act like that every time there's an election. But that's not true. We have 1,000 battles to fight, and we will win some, and we will lose some. But it is also true that some battles are more important than others. The Supreme Court heard arguments today about birthright citizenship. Here was the Chief Justice.
That based on Chinese media reports, there are 500 birth tourism companies in the People's Republic of China whose business is to bring people here to give birth and return to that nation.
Having said all that, you do agree that that has no impact on the legal analysis before us?
I think I'd quote what Justice Scalia said in his Hamdan dissent, where their interpretation has these implications that could not possibly have been approved by the 19th century framers of this amendment. I think that shows that they've made a mess. Their interpretation has made a mess of the provision.
Well, it certainly wasn't a problem in the 19th century.
No, but of course, we're in a new world now, as Justice Alito pointed out to you, where 8 billion people are one plane ride away from having a child who's a U.S. citizen.
Well, it's a new world. It's the same Constitution.
It is, and as Justice Scalia said, I think in the case that Justice Alito was referring to, you've got a constitutional provision that addresses certain evils, and it should be extended to reasonably comparable evils. He said that about statutory interpretation. I think the same principle applies here, and I think we quote that in our brief.
Thank you. Justice Thomas, anything further?
We need him to vote with us. Does that sound like a man who's going to vote with us? Look, we know where Ketanji Brown Jackson's going to vote.
I was thinking about this, and I think there are various sources that say this, that you can have, you obviously have permanent allegiance based on being born in whatever country you're from. That's what everybody recognizes. But you also have local allegiance when you are on the soil of this other sovereign. And I was thinking, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen and visiting Japan. And what it means is that, you know, if I steal someone's wallet in Japan, the Japanese authorities can arrest me and prosecute me. It's allegiance meaning, can they control you as a matter of law? I can also rely on them if my wallet is stolen to, you know, under Japanese law, go and prosecute the person who has stolen it. So there's this relationship based on, even though I'm a temporary traveler, I'm just on vacation in Japan, I'm still locally owing allegiance in that.
So, if that sounded like the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life, it was. But we know how she's going to vote. What matters is how Roberts is going to vote, how Gorsuch is going to vote, how Amy Coney Barrett is going to vote. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to ask Theo Wold about this, because a lot of this is his baby. He's going to join us here in a moment. It didn't sound to me like they're going to be with us. And if they're not with us, if the Supreme Court rules against us in this thing, then we are stuck, maybe for all time, I don't know, I'll ask Theo about this, we are stuck with a country that will be pillaged by foreigners forever, where anybody can sneak across our border, have a baby, and the baby has every right that you have and I have. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Talk to Theo about this in a moment. Speaking of foreigners, we still have other battles when it comes to that. We can continue to send our money to companies that send American jobs overseas, or we can prioritize sending our money to companies that hire American citizens. I have made a choice in my own life. Wherever I can, I don't always succeed, wherever I can, my money goes to companies who hire Americans. I love Pure Talk for a variety of reasons. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. That's very precious to me. They care about veterans. They don't give to every gay cause. They don't do any of that crap. I love that. Pure Talk hires Americans. Pure Talk hires Americans right here at home. When you talk to someone at Pure Talk, when you switch from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you don't just get to keep your phone, keep your number. You get to deal with an American who speaks English. No more clicking into the phone and stupid accents. It's glorious. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. I try to never put all my eggs in one basket, as I said in the opening of the show, but ending birthright citizenship is a really, really, really big deal. I'm not a legal mind, as you know. I barely have a mind at all. But from what I heard today, the Supreme Court does not sound inclined to end the thing. But I bet you Theo knows all this a little bit better than I do. Joining me now, Theo Wold, former Assistant Attorney General, former White House Deputy Assistant for Domestic Policy under Trump. He knows a thing or two. Okay, Theo, what happened today? What is the case? Where are we going? Give me some hope.
I'm sorry, Jesse. I'm the wrong guy to be providing hope today. Okay. I'm sort of, my pharmacy's only got black pills.
Okay. We, all right. Yeah, just give me the truth.
Yeah, okay. So I think the top line here is the first thing that most Americans, your listeners, probably already know, but it bears repeating is, look, you come to the court, you've already got three votes that are hard-baked, hardwired against you. The liberal justices showed no interest in treating the seriousness of these questions, really delving into any of the nuance, any of the subtlety. So they're already out. So now we're looking at essentially Gorsuch, Barrett, Kavanaugh, and the chief. The chief tipped his hand right out of the gate and was very clear with Trump's Solicitor General John Sauer that he was not only skeptical of this entire enterprise, but really felt like that there the existing case law, the existing conventional understanding of birthright citizenship and the 14th Amendment, that's fixed, that's unalterable. So the chief is gone. Now you're looking at Gorsuch. Gorsuch had a lot of really interesting questions about the application of this as it relates to Indian country. And for your listeners who aren't following sort of the ins and outs of the 14th Amendment, the original citizenship clause was drafted, and all of the drafters at the time recognized that the Indian tribes were essentially a separate sovereign. So they don't fall within the meaning of it. So there was a really interesting back and forth between the Solicitor General and Justice Gorsuch about what does that mean? How do we understand this then by analogy as it relates to illegal aliens or people unlawfully present in the United States? And it really sounded like Gorsuch's the answers he was getting were dissatisfactory. He in fact said at one point, I know you keep relying on Wong Kim Ark, you probably shouldn't. And Wong Kim Ark, the administration's interpretation of Wong Kim Ark is sort of at the heart of everything. So Gorsuch, probably a jump ball. The questions from Barrett weren't much better. She asked, I think, some pretty probing hard questions about what do you do with children of folks who were illegally trafficked into the United States? Really over-indexed on this issue about foundlings, which is, you know, babies left on someone's doorstep or at a hospital, stateless individuals, these sort of fringe exceptions. And Jesse, I think you'd agree with me there. This is just kind of further proof that the court is doing the work that properly belongs to legislators. They want to get into the nuances, the what databases are we using? Jackson asked at one point, well, how will we determine who's a U.S. citizen and whether they intend to domicile here? We're going to depose babies and pregnant moms? It's like, well, no, we have something for that. It's called the birth certificate. So, you know, Justice Barrett's questions, while probing, were certainly reflective of an attitude of like, hey, we don't really want to disturb this 90 to 100 year enterprise that we've had. And so you're left with Justice Kavanaugh. Justice Kavanaugh seemed open to some of the administration's positions on interpreting this. Best case scenario I can give you, Jesse, is 7-3 outcome. When I drafted the first executive order on birthright in 45, lots of people told me we didn't even have a single vote for this. It was my aspiration at the time we'd at least get to 4. And that's kind of like the white pill here. That's the most hopeful sort of rendition I can give you. But the answer is, I think, after today's arguments, is going to be incredibly displeasing to every normal, hardworking American citizen.
All right, Theo, I'm gonna pick my heart up off the floor here and ask a couple of stupid questions, if you bear with me here. And the lamest one I can possibly ask, but it really is at the heart of this whole thing, is how can this be? Everybody knows, the left, the right, the middle, everybody knows what the 14th Amendment is about. Everyone understands it was about slaves. Everybody knows. Everyone knows. So how can we be in this situation where our legal system allows people from all over the world to just come here and crap out a kid and they're American citizens? How can this be?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Jesse, it's something, you know, you've talked about for years. And I think the rising generation, Zoomers, are very well aware of this. But the old playbook that was, you know, made popular by President Bush and then continued by Mitch McConnell, the idea that you focus everything on the judiciary, you nominate judges, you use all of the legislative calendar for nomination hearings, and you, quote, stock the judiciary with originalists and textualists. All that really did produce was a regime type where we're now, you know, it's very Old Testament, we're governed by judges. And the problem with that is, as was reflected in the Chief Justice's own back and forth with Solicitor General Sauer, he said, look, you know, this birth tourism thing, is that really a big deal? Is that really happening? And, you know, look, okay, if you tell me it is happening, it has nothing to do with the legal analysis that this court is charged with. So The idea that there are Russian nationals or Chinese nationals with senior ties to the CCP who come here to exploit the permeability of the 14th Amendment, to get passports, social security cards, government entitlement spending, preferred acceptance and tuition rates at our universities, and then the ability essentially to conduct a fifth column in on our own soil. The Chief Justice says, wow, that's sort of immaterial to the central question that we're charged with answering today. That, Jesse, is how you arrive at this place where any ordinary American who works with their hands, has a real job, can see what the real issue here is. And the nine Olympic tribunals who sit in DC say, this has nothing to do with birth tourism, has nothing to do with Indian tribes, has nothing to do with black slaves, has everything to do with whether or not this administration is excluding people who can show allegiance. And what do they mean by allegiance? According to Justice Jackson Brown, allegiance means maybe you steal someone's wallet when you're visiting as a tourist in Tokyo, and so you're governed by the Japanese laws, and that's allegiance to Japan.
Theo, what do you make of the move Trump pulled today? You worked for the man. I have never of going there. Everyone was talking about how this is unprecedented. This is unprecedented. Did that help? Did that hurt? What do you make of it?
Yeah, Jesse, I don't think it's abnormal at all. I don't think it's the way that leftist media critics are presenting this. The president as attending the hearing, look, the three liberal justices were never going to vote with the administration anyway. They came into this, as I said at the outset, pre-baked. Third of justices, whether we agree with them or not on any given day, they're professionals. They do their job. The president's presence in the courtroom isn't going to change the way they rule in this outcome.
All right, Theo. I don't even want to ask, but I'm going to ask it. If they rule against us, and you sound pretty certain they're going to rule against us, have we lost this issue forever? Is this it?
Yeah, I will say, just as a Monday morning quarterback sitting in the cheap seats here and looking at sort of the strategic determinations that the administration made, the Solicitor General said, there are some underlying sort of statutes here that Congress has passed over the years. And the question was put to him is, do you want us to settle this on the statutory grounds or the constitutional grounds? And the Solicitor General's response was essentially, for lay people who aren't lawyers, it was, hey, we want all the chips in the middle of the table. We want a clear and unequivocal answer from you guys about the meaning of the 14th Amendment. And unfortunately, Jesse, what that means then is, the answer they're going to give us, probably negative, means they're going to say for all time and all purposes, the 14th Amendment means this, and it's not what you guys think it means. The answer then is going to become, what do we do about that? And I think the obvious answer for coming out of today's hearing is it's about time for this vast Con Inc. and all the sort of think tanks and the apparatus of the right to get together and really start having meaningful conversations about amending the Constitution. We may not get there. We have 26 red states, and some of those, as you know, are redder than others. But I think it's a reasonable expectation that we start to formulate a real response, driving our voters, our people, to come out and amend the meaning of the 14th Amendment then.
Okay, Theo, before I even get to mail-in ballots, why don't you educate those of us who don't understand, how do we go about doing that, amending the Constitution? What do we need? What do we need votes-wise, states-wise? How do we get this done?
Yeah, so to amend the Constitution, you need the ratification of 30 states. And the origin of an amendment, the language of amendment, it can start in multiple places. It can start very simply because we hold both chambers of Congress. They can introduce a resolution of amendment language in the House. It can be passed out of the Senate. The president can sign it, and you're off to the races. And then you start to organize state ratifying conventions. The left used this to some accomplishment in the 1970s with the Equal Rights Amendment. That did not end up sufficiently, with enough ratification to pass, but it was a major turnout generator for the left in a lot of bellwether states. And so that would be my argument, Jesse, is like, look, get people off the sidelines. As you noted at the outset, the average American understands this question intuitively. They get it. So, enough with the judges, enough with the lawyers, enough with the fancy, credentials in DC. Let the people determine what the meaning of the Constitution is. And this is one way of getting them off the sidelines and into the game.
Okay, let's move on past this insanely depressing topic and talk about mail-in ballots. What did Trump do? What are we looking at here?
Yeah. So, Jesse, as a lot of your listeners have been following for years now, what we've been seeing from the left, they're about 5 to 10 steps ahead of the organized Republican Party. Mail-in ballots was central to their theory of how to generate turnout, or this constellation of Soros-backed NGOs to go out and get people to fill out ballots sometimes, or to fill those ballots out for registered voters, harvest them, and then tabulate them. So mail-in balloting, as has been seen in California, in Oregon, and Washington, is ripe for fraud, and it's been abused in many instances by the left by allowing non-citizens to participate. Gavin Newsom said this very famously during COVID: we just send a ballot to every sort of domicile in the state. So if, you know, if you're a resident in California, we're going to send you a ballot, whether you're qualified to participate in the election or not. What the administration announced this week through the executive orders, they're going to create a curated database of all of the potentially qualified voters in any state. Anyone who is, you know, 18 years of old, a citizen, you know, has a residency in that state, and create a database. And only that database then is eligible for the Secretary of State of that a given state to mail ballots to. Now, the immediate reaction from this from the left and Republicans was, a lot of moderate Republicans, is, well, you can't do that because states run the elections. And I think this is a very clever argument from the administration, which is states may run elections, but the federal government runs the United States Postal Service, and mail-in ballots have to be sent through the mails. And so if you're going to be using the Postal Service to do this kind of thing, you've got to comply with a very standard operating procedure, a barcode on the envelope, and it has to be postmarked for a certain time. And you have to be able to ensure that the ballot was filled out and completed by a qualified registered voter.
Does this hold up? Is this going to save us at all in the midterms?
It's going to be immediately challenged. This is going to go directly to federal court. And Jesse, you know how that game goes. It'll be enjoined. And I think the main argument the left is going to use is this is federalizing state election authorities. You're trying to federalize them. And there's no underlying congressional statute that gives the executive this power to mandate this kind of operating procedure.
All right. Theo, hang in there, brother. I know it's a tough day probably for you. I appreciate you very much. Stay in the fight, please. We keep on marching, right? Mike Slater will probably make us feel better about things. Slater's going to join us in just a moment. Get your chalk. You'll be fine. Get your natural herbal supplements from CHOP. Why would that matter? Well, how does that help? Well, gives you energy, but focus. You wake up and you're ready to go. You get home from work, you get home from school, and you want to do stuff. You're not running out of gas at 3 p.m. going for the coffee pot. I've been taking a male vitality stack from CHOQ for 4 years. I've never taken anything in my life for 4 years. It works. Your mind works so much better. Your energy, your mood. Take it for no other reason than your mood. They have female vitality stacks for women, male vitality stacks. If you want to just start with CHOQ lit powder, start your day off vitamins and minerals. Natural herbal supplements from CHOQ. Go get a subscription. We'll be back.
Thank everybody for being here. I didn't plan on making a remark beforehand. Symbol of who we are, and it's not political, it's not religious, it's not ideological. This is a flag that says clearly that we are a city that's safe and welcoming for everyone, and the steps that were taken to seek to erase who we are, who you are, to minimize the values of this city cannot and will not change who we are.
For each other will carry us through.
Yes, our love for each other will carry us through.
We're here with our courage.
Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh over that clip. It's a very sad day. The mayor of Boise had to take down all the gay stuff. It's not political or religious. You see, Idaho's governor signed a bill into law that says they can't fly all the gay stuff, and they had to take down the gay stuff, and then they had to sing a gay song, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Joining me now, Mike Slater, host of the wonderful Politics by Faith podcast. Hey, Mike, she says it's not religious.
Everything these communists do is religious. They have their own religion, their own gods they worship. It's really themselves, but they're doing the work of the devil. It's all religious to them. That's one of the tricks they say to you is, oh, we don't want you to shove your Christian religion down our throats because we want to shove our religion down your throats. The idea of even flying pride flags over city property, that's crazy. I know we've been living through it for the last like 10 years or so. That's a crazy idea. That's a crazy concept. The whole homosexuality, gay marriage, all this whole movement, it's just the worship of the self, as all sin is. And the idea that we are proudly proclaiming it everywhere we go, over every church, every bank. I remember when I lived in California, San Diego. All the banks were flying it. Like, it was like every bank was like a gay bar, like for a month. The biggest flag in San Diego is this huge pride flag that they have. So we have to worship their idols. We have to worship their flags and their religious edicts. But heaven forbid we do anything related to Christianity. That's offensive. Anything Christian is all terrible. Christianity, our heritage, the founding worldview and principles of everything that we started as a country, what inspired the pilgrims to even come to this country in the first place, every law, every founding document, everything based off of the Christian worldview and the Christian faith. And that's offensive to them. We got to get rid of all of that because that's what communists do. They destroy, they tear down. It's all they do. As you know, Jesse, you're the expert in that. So they just tear down and destroy so that they can lift up their own idols. So here's like the first time I've ever seen in my life, actually, a pride flag being taken down, and their sweet tears bring me great joy. Alas, it's just the beginning. It's one place, one wherever that was, one city hall in Idaho. We have so much more work to do. The fact that, if I may, Jesse, bring up a slightly different topic. The other day, the guard for the Chicago Bulls, Jaden Ivey, maybe it was, he did like this Instagram thing or whatever. He's like, man, this is pretty crazy that we proclaim unrighteousness with these pride nights. He got fired. It's like, what are you talking about? Of course it's crazy that all of our major league sports leagues have pride nights. What the heck? Who even came up with that idea? And it just shows to me how far we've gone because you have one, I've heard one professional sports guy say that's crazy, he got fired. I've heard one professional sports athlete come to his defense. It's a running back for the Patriots who talked about Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they'll be for righteousness' sake, for there will be glory in heaven. One guy. So two professional athletes have come to their defense. We're not even close to winning back culture, and we will never win back our culture until Christians are as bold as the Muslims, until we're as shrewd as the communists, and until we stop worshiping at this fake altar of being nice. We're never going to win this country back to what it was. It's never going to happen. We need power in numbers, massive power in numbers for this Bulls player. We need hundreds of professional athletes to come out and say this is crazy in order for this nonsense to finally stop. But I don't see that out there yet. And that's why the Muslims, that's why white progressive women have been winning the culture wars for decades now, because we've been a bunch of cowards.
Mike, I'm glad to hear you say it. I actually brought this up last night on my show, talking specifically about this story and how they are at war with us. And so many people on the right, certainly Christians, don't want to be at war. Who wants to be at war all the time? We want to live at peace. We just want to live our lives. And so people try to deny that there is a war. People try to sit out the war. I don't want to get involved in any of that stuff. But you cannot sit out, because this is a spiritual war that is beyond any of us, any one human being on the left or the right. This is a spiritual war, and they have declared it. They are fighting it. We don't have a choice. We have to fight back.
More than anything, what they want you to do is sit out. They just want you to be quiet. They don't even want you to know what's going on. That's why the devil is very shrewd, right? C.S. Lewis writes about this in the Screwtape Letters, that he doesn't want the patient, the Christian, to even necessarily be like proclaiming like fiercely anti-Christian. Like, that's not even necessarily the devil's game. He just wants you to be neutral or nothing or quiet or calm or nice and sit it out and don't get involved. That's his number one goal. Then you are so captured by the enemy if you choose to sit it out or pretend, as you said, that there's no battle even being waged at all against us. Oh, Satan loves that more than anything. And the idea of this war, first of all, it's so pathetic that we're letting these losers win it. It's one thing to lose a battle here or there, right? But you're like, well done, other team, you did good. But for these people to be winning, it's crazy. It's unacceptable. It's pathetic for Christians across this country to let these people win as they're winning right now. It's unacceptable. But the idea of a war, there's this video of this thing in London. They've done it every year for a couple of years now. It's called Al-Quds Day. And so Al-Quds is the Muslim or the Arabic word for Jerusalem, because the Muslims control Jerusalem from like 638 to 1917. So like 1300 years, the Muslims control Jerusalem for 1300 years, except for like 100 year, like two increments here or there, right? And they would like to control it again. So they call it Al-Quds. And in London, they have a thing called Al-Quds Day. And they have this big parade. And there was this one part in the parade through the streets of London, where you have this beautiful old London streets, right? And they have these pride flags strewn, like a permanent display of pride flags across the boulevard. And there's like five wide and like 20 rows deep, just pride flags as far as you can see. And these are the even wackier pride flags. These are the pride flags that have the trans like triangles on them, and then it has the intersex circle in the middle, right? So they're just like piling gods on top of just the gay god that they've been with, right? So you have pride flags as far as I can see, but then you also have Al-Quds Day marching underneath the pride flags. So you have these Muslim people, Muslim invaders, waving the Hamas flag and the Hezbollah flag and these huge black flags with red Arabic letters. And it doesn't say we love the gays. I don't know Arabic. I don't know exactly what it says, but it probably doesn't say we love the gays underneath the pride flag. But they don't care, because they work together, because all they're about is destroying Christianity. That's first and foremost, and they are great allies in that effort. So the Muslims will happily march with the gays in order to take down the Christians, the biggest enemy there is. And then they'll go after each other, and I'm pretty sure the Muslims are going to win that battle as well. But this juxtaposition between the pro-gay lobby, and who think that, oh, it's about being nice and tolerant, and oh, no, here's our flag. And then you have the Muslims underneath who not only want to kill you, if you are gay in their country, will kill you. They will throw you off the building to kill you. That's how much they hate the gays, but yet the Christians were the bad guys. Just, I thought of that when you said there's a war going on and we don't even realize it. Forget people realizing there's a spiritual war going on. People don't even realize there's a war going on in the flesh, even amongst different groups who want to kill you.
Mike, I'm glad you brought up this specifically, because I'll tell you, it's once a week to my show, I get all these emails, and once a week I get an email asking me, Jesse, I don't understand the LGBTQ freak mob joining forces with Islam, because they reference everything you just referenced. They kill gay people. Why are they joining forces? Why are they joining forces? People look at this logically and they can't work through it in their heads. They should be mortal enemies. Why are they joining forces? Mike, why are they joining forces?
They just want to destroy. Progressives are not for anything. They're only against. We believe in the good, the beautiful, and the true. They do not believe in anything. They just want to destroy what exists. They want to destroy what is good, beautiful, true. And this is a very interesting point, if I may, that the people who want to destroy oftentimes have a better sense, a better radar for what is good, beautiful, and true, because their whole psyche is about destroying it. And they can't destroy something that's good, beautiful, and true if they don't know it's good, beautiful, and true. So they're actually really well attuned to what is good, beautiful, and true, maybe even more so than regular people walking around who take all this stuff for granted. We don't even know the things that they're destroying are good, beautiful, and true because we don't really think about it. We don't really care enough. And that's why they're able to get away with it. That's why they're so effective, because they can pinpoint everything. Like, they're like, let's just take the NBA to go back to this guy, right? The NBA, it's a good cultural marker, landmark that unites people, and it's a good, generally, like, it's a good thing. Sports are a good thing, right? They want to destroy them. They want to divide. They want to destroy. It's all they care about. They wake up in the morning thinking, how can I destroy everything around me? Because it's who they are. That's why. So they'll ally with anyone who is dead set on the same destruction that they're set with.
Mike, we talk about these things and the evils seem so pervasive. And as you mentioned, they're so clever. And it's just, we see it all around us. And people can get disheartened. There's somebody watching us talk right now, probably many people, who are disheartened. It's hopeless. It's too much. There, you know, that great scene from Lord of the Rings. How can we stand against such reckless hate? How can we stand, Mike?
I'll give you another Lord of the Rings line. Tolkien says you should fight against evil in the fields that you know. You and I, Jesse, we are given the ministry of raising children. That's our most important priority right now. That's our way to fight against the evil one. But we have other fields as well. And so does every single person listening right now. But personally, we have to be focused on eternity. That's the only hope. That's the ultimate hope. And if I may, that's what Resurrection Sunday is about. That's what Easter is about. That's the ultimate hope. And it's all about the resurrection. All of Christianity hinges on the resurrection. One thing I love about the Bible is how it's so bold on that point. It'd be one thing if the Bible said, here's the virgin birth. That's kind of crazy, but okay. And then dying on the cross, crucifixion. Like, okay, we can get our head around that. But then there's this coming back from the dead thing. That's a little crazy. You don't really have to believe in that. It's kind of loopy and wacky, but you can believe it if you want, but you don't have to. No. The Bible says everything rests on the resurrection. The whole thing. If you don't believe in this, or if this didn't happen, then we are all a bunch of fools, and we are most pitied. We're to be most pitied if this didn't happen. Everything rests on the resurrection. And I thought of this now, Jesse, because the resurrection proves that Jesus, everything he said is true, but also it proves that he beat death. And if he didn't beat death, then we can't. And then our sins will lead us to hell for all of eternity. But because he beat death, he beat our sin, he can take on our sin, and we get to go to heaven instead. So it all hinges on the resurrection. And that has to be your eternal hope, even when things look bad, even when the Supreme Court justices look like a bunch of dopes and can't do the most basic things. Even when the Chicago Bulls fire their players because of Pride Night, even when Al-Qud Muslims are marching through the conquered nation of England, you're like, yikes, things are looking pretty bleak at the moment. But we always have eternity, and that is the thing that we celebrate coming up on Sunday.
Amen. He does the Politics by Faith podcast. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it wherever you get podcasts. It's absolutely wonderful. Make your day a whole lot better. Praise Jesus for Mike Slater. Thank you, my brother. Yeah. Anyway, that was a lot of LGBTQ talk. Let's talk about Lindsey Graham next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And there's something happening in the media world out there that has me just absolutely giddy. So TMZ, I don't care about TMZ, but it's this publication, and what they do is they follow around celebrities, and they break celebrity scandals and things like that. They're snapping pictures of this celebrity drunk in a bar. That's what they do. Well, I don't do celebrity talk. I don't care about that kind of stuff. So whatever, TMZ is neither here nor there. But TMZ announced that they're opening up a political wing, if you will. What's that mean? Well, now, instead of chasing around just actors and whatever stupid cocaine thing they happen to be doing at the moment, now they're going to follow around politicians. And I love that because I despise politicians. I despise the people in Washington, D.C. who abuse us every single day. I despise the fact that they trash this country and then go live like kings. And that brings me to Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham's been all over the news every single night telling you, me, Donald Trump, and the whole rest of the world that we have to stay in Iran and start World War III, that nothing else matters but this. It's the most important thing in the world. In fact, he's going to grab the sons and daughters of South Carolina and send them over there to die in Iran. He's loving this thing. And then, while we had five-hour wait times at the airport, Lindsey Graham got caught in Disney World by TMZ. There's Lindsey Graham. He got caught there, and you notice he's holding a very, very large toy. Let's not dwell on the toy for too long, because that doesn't need to be something we dwell on. Lindsey's getting a lot of crap. Lindsey, after getting so much guff for partying in Disney World with his very large wand, Lindsey decided he had to butch up a little bit, run social media, threw a picture of himself out there. Hey, look at me and my shotgun. Just love doing man stuff with my shotgun. Oh, Lindsey, it nourishes my soul. South Carolina, time to primary this man. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.